to Love Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your radio of reason, an independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday, December 27, 2007. It's now about 6:31 a.m. Central Standard Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. And now on to our program. Good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. We have five lines, and they're all open. That's 646-652-4620. And it's only during our live broadcast. This is, again, Thursday morning on December 27th. It is around 6:30 a.m. You can email us at any time at comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com. And that two is a numeric two. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. Well, good morning, everyone. This morning's topic will be somewhat of a reflection and also maybe somewhat of a projection at the same time of where we are and what seems to be going on. I've had this radio program now for about a year and a half, and we focus on issues and how they affect your liberties. Now, sometimes I just don't say that, it's implied, but I need to remind myself to say that so people understand where I'm coming from and the reason that I broach any of these subjects. These subjects are not just taken out of thin air for reasons other than how they affect us. I had something cute. I have this little calendar of George Colin calendar, and he has here, and this is cute. He says, "The fanatics will win. People who don't give a beep, you know, and have nothing to lose will always prevail over people who are fighting for some vague sentiment scrawled on a piece of parchment. Folks, they're going to get you, and it ain't going to be pretty. We can't drop a 5,000-pound bomb on every one of them. They will either run all over us, or in trying, they will turn us into ever bigger monsters than we already are." And truer words have never been spoken. As part of my reflection, I'd like to say that, you know, George Carlin is a very interesting comedian because most of what he talks about is social commentary. And he's not very happy with the way things are going on right now, and who can blame him? I think sometimes we should listen to some of these comedians and really what they're trying to tell us and take it to heart. At least we should start thinking. And this is a real problem, folks, is that as a nation, we are not thinking. The title of this segment is From Affluent to Survivor. That means we have people who are affluent today, and if we're not careful and things don't turn around, we may all turn out to be survivors. Who are attempting to survive. There's a real problem. You see, because I have this radio program, I try to keep abreast of the way people think and what is on their minds. Now, I don't have any formal survey. I don't have a staff doing this. Is that when I meet someone, I ask them, how are things going? And not you personally, how do you perceive things going? Well, lately, I've been receiving responses that have been very disturbing because they've been very consistent. And most people are saying, well, you know, things are okay, but, you know, they're just not, they don't seem to be right. Things are getting kind of tight, and I'm getting kind of concerned. But when you ask them what they're concerned about, they really don't know. And what we don't know will affect our liberties. If we don't know what the problem is, and that problem does confront us someday, and we are ill-prepared, as Americans, we are always ill-prepared, it seems, then that could very much affect our liberties. There is a mentality in America that, and this has grown over many, many years, primarily, I believe, because of our government schooling. Because what we're taught when we're very young is what we bring with us. We carry this around with us. This is our baggage. And our government schools give us quite a bit of baggage to carry around. And it's very disconcerting. This baggage includes that I am not responsible for myself. The responsibility for me is the responsibility of someone else. And typically that someone else is someone who I have elected in office. I mean, why would we have anyone in office unless they would be responsible for the really important things in life? That's why I voted for them. So they would worry about it, and then they would inform me when the time comes and when on a need-to-know basis. Now, if you don't think I'm correct, if you think that's kind of foolish, really think about it. Ask your friends about what is going on. I had Christmas dinner with family, and of course I tried not to bring up anything that's related to politics or the economy or, you know, with unfortunately with family, you can talk about the great deal that you got at Walmart, but that's about as deep as it goes, because anything else becomes fighting words and people get very, very upset. So I just asked, I said, well, just curious, I said, have you heard much about or have you been following this international financial crisis precipitated by the by all these bad subprime loans and whatever? And everyone looked at me and they said, oh yeah, we heard about it. And the table went dead silent. I mean dead silent. I said, well, you know, it could cause some real significant financial ripples here in the United States and could affect us all. And not one person said, how? Why do you think that's the case? Or, I disagree with you. I think it's something that the Federal Reserve could handle. No one wanted to touch that subject. We went on to talk about something like Walmart or the weather or something, some innocuous, you know, something that is not very threatening, not very controversial, you know, and just general talk. And I sat there and I said, it's very interesting because the response I received at this table is generally the response I get from most people. And if you start talking about it, about what is going on and what the ramifications could be, you can tell their eyes get glassy, you know, and they're looking at you, but they're not listening anymore because they don't want to listen. You see, there are people in high office, big officials, I mean legislators that we elected office who are very, very smart, very important people, you know, that we call honorable, the most honorable so-and-so, and they have their finger on the pulse of things, and they will invite us in when the time comes on a need-to-know basis. And that's why we elect them. Folks, We are in deep trouble. I'd like to give you an analogy, and then I'd like to talk a little bit about Ron Paul, who, in my opinion, of the two major parties, is the only viable candidate, and maybe somewhat Mike Gravel. Both candidates, on the Democratic side, I should say, both candidates are considered nutcakes by the mainstream media. They are attacked in the most unusual ways. And they're not saying anything wrong other than, you know, we should restore the Constitution. We should be very careful about decimating, you know, our Bill of Rights. And yet, they're questioned about it. I mean, how could we question that? We don't question Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama about universal health care and necessity and the of government to step in to ensure that everyone has enough money and enough health care, and the government ensures everything. That's a communist state. Not even a socialistic state. It's a communist state because you have a very strong central government dictating everything. That's the responsibility of the individual. But they're not nutcakes. They're compassionate. They relate to the average person. This comes from our government school system, and our government school systems strip our children of their liberties, of their ability to think critically about their government. Just like religions take a very, very young person and indoctrinate them in their religion, and I'm talking about any religion, not Christian alone, any religion, when they're very young and indoctrinate them, and they carry that religious baggage with them for the rest of their lives, because they would never question it. Obviously, if they question it, something very bad would happen. And we have our government school systems doing the same thing at a very young age, indoctrinating people so that they actually grow up to be adults who firmly believe that the responsibility they have for themselves is really the responsibility of someone else. And people who think that they are affluent today will turn out to be some of the worst survivors. I'd like to give you an example. Now, I mentioned on a previous broadcast that we had the worst ice storm here in Oklahoma, at least in current times, the past 100 years. And the cleanup on that storm probably will not be completed for another 3 or 4 months. That's how bad it was. We had a lot of damage around our house. And our house still looks like a war zone. Our house is okay, but the trees and all that had been fallen and whatever. We were very ill-prepared for that. People in their homes had beautiful homes. And what did they do? They ran to the nearest hotel because they had no heat. They had no lighting. And they had nothing to cook on. Now, here's my problem. I am not a very good suburbanite. I don't like suburbia. And I'll tell you why. Suburbia makes you very dependent on everyone, on someone else. So, being a true suburbanite is sort of like being a good government citizen. You become reliant on the government for everything. Anytime anything goes wrong, the government is there. If you are a good suburbanite, your house is not very functional. It looks pretty, and the objective is to have a house that looks pretty, but should anything happen, you're totally at the mercy of the circumstances. For example, like I said, most people fled their homes because we had an outage for a few days, electrical outage. So they went to hotels, all the hotels in this entire state was totally booked, and outside the state were totally booked. Now, how ill, but now these are big homes. I mean, we're talking about $150,000 and way up there to hundreds and hundreds of thousands. Abandoned because there was no heat. You would think that someone who owns a home would at least give some thought into what they would do if, in fact, there was an outage of some sort. Oh, and by the way, folks, this is Thursday morning, and it's 6:45. And if you have any questions or you have some comments, I'd appreciate a call. 646-652-4620. I usually forget to give the telephone number out. 646-652-4620. Please call in, or you can send your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. All right. Now, so many years ago, I'd say about 10 years ago, my wife and I decided to install a wood-burning stove. When we figure, well, Y2K is coming up, and there may be some intermittent, you know, outages and all that, and it would be a nice thing to have. Well, it was quite expensive at the time. I think we spent like $2,600 for the stove, and this was a very high-efficiency, EPA-rated, and all this other stove. It has a catalytic thing in it, and then it sort of recycles the heat, and it's very efficient, and it's a beautiful stove. It's a ceramic green. It's beautiful. And we have it where we had our little breakfast table, and a big pipe goes up to the ceiling. It's just very, very stylish and all that. In fact, the only stylish thing we have in our house, it's the only update we have in our house since 1974. And we thought that we really overspent, and that was probably money thrown out the window. Well, that stove has really paid off. While everyone else was fleeing, we heated up the house because we do save some wood. We always have some wood in the event of an emergency. And we heated the entire house. Quite frankly, the wood-burning stove heat is a lot nicer than the forced air heat. Now, we were very comfortable. We did not have to abandon our house. It did get depressing because it was dark. But we were somewhat prepared. In other words, our house was functional. People are not very prepared today. And as a result, they're not very functional when something bad happens. Now, what am I referring to? I'm referring to the situation, the financial situation. You see, folks, it's a natural tendency, and I don't have to tell you this. I'm not being philosophical or a father figure or anything like that. I don't know any more than you do, believe me. And as far as living life, you guys out there probably know a hell of a lot more than I do. But, you know, as you know, in life, we tend to project the future based on our present. If everything's going along nicely, we assume everything's going to continue to go along nicely. I'll give you an example. My wife has an assistant that she's turning over one of her audiology practices to. And wonderful gal. Absolutely. I mean, one of the most wonderful persons I've ever met in my life. I mean, that's how I wish. She's a daughter to me. She called the other day and hysterically crying, her husband was killed in a car accident. Her whole world turned upside down. 3 children. 9, 7, and 3. And it's been hard for, we all cried. I cried. I was angry. Anyway, she's a real trooper. And there's a lot of things that she did that prepared her in the event something would happen. Small things. And she's going to see this through quite well. Honestly, a lot better than I would. Americans don't prepare for eventualities. Now, did she project in her future, you know, this to happen? Not really. She prepared for it in a way, but, you know, she did certain small things like insurance and stuff like that, just in case. But, you know, this was Christmas Eve. And, you know, the only thing she was preparing for is having Christmas dinner with her family. She was in Abilene at the time, where her family is. But we do that. My friend's mother comes from Nazi Germany. And whenever something like this happens, when there's an ice shortage, an outage rather, because of ice or storm or whatever, she reminisces about Nazi Germany and what they had to do to stay alive. You see, she is very careful. She's very prepared. Her whole house is prepared. She didn't have to rely on anyone when the outage came, because she projects her future based on her past experience. Well, you see, our past experience has been all affluent. They're filled with electronic gizmos. They're filled with political promises that never seem to pan out. And they're filled with affluent. When there's no money in the system, the government just prints more money, and there's always money there for us. You see, we continue to project in the future what our experience has been. And part of that experience is our government school systems telling us what we, how we should think and what we should expect from the government, and why we should not, then why we should be loyal to the government, not why the government should be loyal to us. So here we are. We have an outage and no one's prepared. Well, we're not prepared because we didn't expect anything like this to happen. Nothing like this should happen because it didn't happen yesterday. So what do? As soon as something happens, now we project the future based on our current, and we go out and we buy batteries and flashlights and backup generators, right? I mean, this is exactly what happened. There's a run on generators. You couldn't find a generator in the entire state. And then when things turn back to normal, well, we just project things back as they normally would be. Because it's a short experience. It's not a real learning experience for us. It's just a blip, you know. It's an unusual thing. It probably will never happen again. What Ron Paul is telling us, folks, is that we have a Federal Reserve System that was set up back in 1914. It is a cabal, a consortium, if you will, of the big money families. The Warburgs, the Rockefellers, the DuPonts, the Morgans, the Rothschilds of Europe, and then some. And they own this company, this entity called the Federal Reserve. And our country, our government, goes to them and asks them to print money, and then they charge the government for printing the money, and they charge the government interest. And they discount the money to the government. Now, when you think about that, that's insane. Why would you have a private company owned by the money changers of the world in control of our currency? Now, they say they needed that in order to stabilize the monetary system. It was too unstable before. We had bank runs and bank failures. We had very few bank runs. We had bank failures, very, very few. For the most part, banks were very strong. Because, you see, the banks were depositories for our money. They held our money. And then they gave interest out. Because what they did is they lent that money out, and they had to be very careful. Because if their reserves went down too low, people would lose faith in that bank, and people would stop putting their money in there, and they would go out of business. But now, see, the government guarantees it, and guarantees it with the, you know, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, and there's no money in there. That's all taxpayer money that the government's going to eventually print to bail out, which they're doing now, bailing out the banks. And what Ron Paul is saying, get rid of the Federal Reserve, let's print our own money. Why not? No reason not to. Provided people will accept it as a medium of exchange, and we should separate. There should be a divorce proceeding so that we separate the government from our money. So our money will not be politically motivated, so the government wouldn't print money so it can go to war, spend trillions of dollars, indebting our future. But you see, Ron Paul is considered a nutcake because we're not taught that in school. We're taught that the government is doing the right thing. And we should look to the government to make sure we are protected. And what Ron Paul is saying is that no, we should print the money. We should protect ourselves. The government should just be there to ensure that no one infringes on that right. on the inalienable rights that we have as citizens, which we have totally lost track of. It's a shame that if we look back over the past year, we have lost a lot of our liberties. We've gained some. We've gained some latitudes. You know, one would be, look at this radio station. 10 years ago, this would have been impossible. But yet, I can get on the air and I get emails from all over the world. I'm talking Malaysia, China. I shouldn't say China. I get the Chinese nationals who are living out of China. Alaska, Europe, South America, and of course the United States and Canada, as well as Mexico. And it's interesting that we have this thirst for liberty, but we are so afraid to drink. We always think it's somebody else's responsibility. Folks, in 2008, maybe Ron Paul will be instrumental in waking up so many of us who realize that it is our responsibility, absolutely our responsibility, to be responsible for ourselves, and that is not the responsibility of some bureaucrat. Now, that's frightening because now we have to make the decisions. I'll be honest with you. I have been divorcing my currency from the U.S. currency. I've been buying, you know, silver coins and stuff like that and putting them in my safety deposit box because I think that's what I need to do to protect my family. I took that responsibility. Do I ride around in a new car? No. One time I attempted to buy a new car. Back in 2001 or 2002, I think it was. It was a Subaru, cute little car, but didn't run right. Brand new, but it had something wrong with the front end. I didn't wind up buying it. And I took that money, and I invested it in precious metals. And am I glad it did, because it tripled in value, and that car wouldn't be worth anything today. I wound up walking, taking the bus, hitching a ride, going with my wife, you know, and taking the company truck once in a while. But we need to take those steps that seem to be so inconvenient in order to preserve our future. Folks, we need to be prepared. We are ill-prepared because when we are ill-prepared, we will once again look toward our government to save us, as people in New Orleans look toward the government to save them. And all they got was legislation, regulations and restrictions on their liberties. By waiting for the government, they lost their liberties and their lives are in shambles. We need to take control of our lives, and we should just make certain that the government doesn't interfere with that inalienable right. I hope this message is broadcasted around the world and sinks in. I ask that if you have any comments regarding this broadcast, please send it to comments at libertytalkradio.com. That's comments at libertytalkradio.com. And I do urge you to go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. He also has a blog now. It's blogtalkradio.com/mytwocents. And listen to what he has to say from an economic perspective. It'll change the way you think. Well, come Sunday, we have the gentleman, Cameron, who's the executive director of the AUM International. Don't know much about it. He's an energetic young gentleman who wants to bring people together for peace. And it's very interesting. He's a very inspiring person, and we're going to digress from our normal program to have someone like that on our show. He's coming to the studio. He'll be interviewed on Sunday evening at 8 o'clock. I ask that you join us. That's Sunday on December 30th. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Shakers Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you are striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. And remember, don't steal. The government hates competition. Until next time, stay well, stay tuned.